internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I think my new neighbor may have some sort of sexual hang-up that requires him to sit in his truck in his driveway and just rev his truck for just hours on end.
All right, I want to get to that later. I need to know more. Hopefully NCIS fan fiction has something to do with that. I'm your bespectacled host, Dave. I remember I wanted a Nintendo so bad when I was a kid that I made a controller out of cardboard. And I tied a piece of string around it and attached the string to the back of my television. And I would sit in front of the television for hours and press on this cardboard controller.
That just ups your cred. That's good. So, I, too, used to try and play Oprah.
Mine was The Price is Right. What we do on this show is we're playing our way through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games and muse about our experiences here. This week, we are talking about IGN's 93rd game, Super Turrican 2. Before we get into that, I want to know more about this gentleman neighbor of yours revving his truck.
Okay, new house. We have, you know, nice neighbors on one side and then our strange neighbors on the other side. The woman came over and asked to just watch us burn our trash. She just wanted to watch the fire.
What?
That's her. And he has some huge-ass truck that makes incredibly loud noises.
Yeah.
Any time of the day or night, he'll just sit in his driveway and just rev it. For like an hour, he'll just rev it. I'm complaining about it, but I also accept I might be the asshole in this situation. He might have been like abused in the past, and maybe he needs to rev his truck to get excited. Maybe he and his flame watching wife are trying to have a baby.
His wife needs to watch you burn trash.
She needs to watch the trash get excited. He needs to rev his truck, and they're trying to make a family. And I'm just the asshole complaining about it all. I don't know. But anyway, Mondo.
Yeah, Mondo. Speaking of weird sexual kinks, Mondo. What we got?
We have Outstanding Orange.
All right. So, I'm going to twist this fucker open
there. There you go. There you go.
That's the quality sound. Yeah, you got to suck the cap.
That little bit of orange excellence right out there.
What's this called again?
Outstanding Orange.
Outstanding Orange. We'll be the judge
Mondo Fruit Squeeze. Not juice, not drink. It's a squeeze.
You know what? That's actually probably the best one I've had so far.
Yeah, that's not... I'm a little more partial to orange, and that, although it does taste more like the color orange than the fruit orange.
That's true. What flavor is this? Orange. And I apologize to the listeners. It's monsoon season in Kentucky, if you're not aware. So we're in the middle of a rainstorm right now, drinking orange Mondo and talking about becoming aroused by watching trash burn.
Like you do. As you sip your Mondo, I'll go ahead and let you think about it, digest. What have you been playing this week? You haven't told me what you've been playing. I've been eagerly waiting.
I found one of the hardest things about doing this show with you is not talking to you about what I've been playing. Because, like, it'll be everyday conversation. I'll think of something I want to tell you. And sometimes I'll start being like, eh. And then, like, I'll realize that what I'm about to say, I want to save for the episode. And
that's why we sit in awkward silence a lot when we hang out on just days that aren't recording day. Did you? Wait, have you? Wait.
Gotta save it. Gotta save it for the show. Gotta keep it fresh. I've been playing a game that I haven't played since late 2011 when it first came out. You know, we played some La Mulana, and that really got me in the mood for two things: a challenging game and a game that's based around exploration. And while we were playing that game, I made several comments. I commented several times that it reminded me a lot of Dark Souls. Dark Souls I started but never finished. I was going to say I don't have a good reason. And it's true, I don't have a good reason, but I have a reason. The reason I never finished Dark Souls is because I refused to look anything up. And I legitimately got stuck. Like, I got to a point in the game where it's like I just didn't know what to do.
No.
So apparently, I'm going to figure it out this time.
Okay. I believe you. I know you will.
I'm going to try.
It's supposedly a crushingly difficult game. I bought it when it came out, and it's been sitting on my shelf in my increasing backlog. So I'll get to it eventually.
I'm going through as the deprived class, which is the class that starts out with no armor, a club, and a couple of planks for a shield.
Yeah. It's the hardcore mode of the hardcore game.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's going to be either glorious victory or just demoralizing defeat.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
What have you been playing?
I'd started Majora's Mask some time ago. I need to, you know, get on it and start playing through that. But I haven't been too inspired to hook my Wii up again. So I've been...
Every night
I've been going through probably 5 to 10 Professor Layton puzzles, just working through that a little bit at a time.
Every now and then I'll look over and I'll see that the Wii, like I guess the update light is flashing. I just get mad at it. I just get so mad. I'm like, I keep thinking to myself, the hell did I buy you, Wii?
I loved it the first 2 weeks that I had it. And then,
yeah. You got tired of playing sports.
Emulator machine, yeah.
I've been meaning to ask you, how's the Final Fantasy VI challenge been going? Have you made any headway?
It's been totally easy. I know once I get past the floating continent, it will change dramatically. Mm-hmm. But World of Balance is still, it's not that difficult.
No problem. It's going to get really tough once it flips.
Yep.
Spoilers. There's something I want to bring up before we get into our game this week, Super Turrican 2. A friend of the show, I've mentioned some of this to you, a friend of the show, Matt Barger, had a really good idea that I want to propose. The idea is essentially that for every 10 games that we play from IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games, we play one terrible, some dreadful, terrible, awful Super Nintendo game, and we'll do a show about it.
As long as it's not a racing game, I think that is a great idea.
Well, what if they're specifically geared for you, and they're all racing games? Well, I had an idea I want to run by the listeners. I want you listeners out there to think long and hard about the worst possible Super Nintendo games. And then I want you to choose from that very specific list that you've handcrafted and labored over. And I want you to email me the game that you think is the worst Super Nintendo game. And we will tally the results, play that game, and then talk about it on the show. You down, Tyler?
Yep.
All right.
I remember I'd read somewhere that people thought the worst Super Nintendo game was a Wizard of Oz game where you're Dorothy. It's a side-scrolling platformer where you're throwing apples and stuff going through Oz. I vaguely remember playing it a long time ago. Like, it was in those circumstances where my parents were having dinner with somebody from church.
Yeah.
And they had a Super Nintendo, but they only had, like, that game.
Nice. That's like some friends when I was a kid in like first grade. I remember the kids across the street had a Nintendo, but before they could play any games, like any games that we wanted to play, they had to play two of their Bible games. Before I forget.
If it was Red River Crossing for Atari, then they would be $20,000 heirs right now.
I can't remember the name of the game. You probably know.
Because I love Bible games. Like, you know, JRPGs and then Bible games. I just love it.
It had several different, it was like several different mini games. And the one that I remember is you're Noah and you have to get two of each animal. So
it's got a Pokemon called Pokemon Brown where you go through an arc. Pokemon
Brown. Before I forget, go ahead and email me those. Any that you think are awful, listeners, email them to dave@tadpog.com. We need those in by March 4th. So get them in and we will be tortured for you.
Yay.
Ready to get into some Super Turrican 2?
Super Turrican 2.
Yeah?
All right. First thing off, this is the only game I've ever sat down to play that does not have a game fax.
Yeah.
I was legitimately stunned. It's the first time ever. No other game, no matter how obscure, I've always been able to find a game fax for it. Nope, not this one.
It also has about a one paragraph entry in Wikipedia, which is also pretty rare.
That tells you just how popular and beloved this Super Turrican 2 is.
But I was still able to glean some facts about the game that, in case you listening out there are not familiar with Super Turrican 2, which you probably are, it's probably just Tyler and I who have never heard of this game. It's a run-and-gun style shoot-em-up that was developed by Factor 5 and published by Ocean for the Super Nintendo in 1995. You play as a member of the United Freedom Forces, and you're armed with your trusty Turrican assault suit.
Q-Hawk noise.
Yes. And you are tasked with defeating a horde of machines that are overtaking a small system of planets. So there you go.
Woo! Or in more simplistic terms, it is a Contra clone.
Yes, it is a Contra clone. It's like a Metroid Contra clone.
Yeah. It's a lot of different shit just kind of smashed together. It's got Metroid elements to it. It has Sonic the Hedgehog elements to it. Contra, like you've taken a little bit of acid. I like the reference of Z's Ansari for this when he's talking about Cold Stone Creamery. Like, you gotta have your mix-ins. You know, chocolate cheeseburger, just smashing shit in. That's what Ocean and Factor 5 just... What games do you like? All right, let's just cram those features in there. Except, well, you know, we're gonna make it like every other game, but you can't shoot diagonally. That's how we'll get them.
So, how is it like Contra? I know this, and I know that you know this, but for anyone out there who hasn't played...
There are up and down movements as opposed to Contra, but you're going left to right with different kinds of guns that you're, you know, the spread type gun, a single fire gun. I think there are four in total.
Something like that.
I would have liked more guns. And you go across platforming, jumping. You have like maybe one vehicle in one scene of your side scroller. You do go through different views and different levels. There's a lot of variety.
Tyler, you mean to tell me there's different levels in this game?
There are different... It goes like you finish a level, there's a whole other level afterwards.
There's another level?
There's another one. It's different. You start off, it's typical standard, left to right, shooting, getting different guns. It's entertaining enough. It's frustrating you can't shoot diagonally, so you have to be on just the right plane with your enemy.
Well, especially the first level is in a desert, and there's sand dunes, so it's... incredibly frustrating when the enemy is on top of a sand dune and you can't aim diagonally to shoot it. You kind of have to either wait for it to come down or jump.
Yeah, jump and walk around. And yeah, it's not.
It's about as frustrating as trying to hit Medusa heads in Castlevania.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. I guess we'd also bring up the beginning of the intro when it's going cross saying everything. You see who's going to be the boss.
Yes.
Looks like Galactus.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like it is a ripoff of Galactus and or Strife.
Yeah, if they made it.
If it's a really big version, it's Galactus. If it's a small, you know, normal-sized version, it's Strife.
Well, we were watching it. I remember watching the opening, and we both looked at each other at the same time when they showed the main villain, and we both said... Galactus?
And then where if we had Josh over to give it a go, same thing.
First thing he said, Galactus? Yeah.
The first level is left to right, shooting. The boss, I guess, no other way to explain it, it's a haunted elevator.
Yeah, it's the first one you come in
the boss, contact with. The enemies are out there, which that was fun, seeing how crazy they would make their enemies.
Elevator's a machine.
Yeah. That's one of the few machines you actually fight. The mission says you're out to fight the machines that run the universe. You fight very few machines. Yeah.
You mainly fight giant wildlife.
Wildlife and aliens. That's about it. The second stage is where it gets a little more Metroid-like because you're not just going left and right. You're going right
up
to left,
down,
up and down.
Through buildings.
Through a dilapidated city.
And the suit, your assault suit, your Turrican, allows you to turn into a ball. Samus style.
Yep.
So that... seems like a ripoff, but I actually think this series started back on the Amiga. So I don't know who ripped who off or whom ripped whom off, but someone ripped someone off, damn it.
If you got any hand in this, Yuki's mama, you have to come on and answer for the Turrican and Metroid controversy.
We'll put you in the hot seat. You can have as much Mondo as you want.
Now, I believe after the first two levels, then there's sort of like a racing level.
Yeah, there's a level, or there's a stage in the second level where the camera's behind you. Is that what you're talking about? You're going through the corridors with the laser bars and all that?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the dune buggy and the...
Oh, well, I guess the dune buggy is still, you know, the side-scroller, jump up and down. The controls on it are pretty tight. I had no control problems with that.
Yeah.
But controlling the other one, it reminded me of Final Fantasy VI when you're trying to get out away from the Empire.
Right.
But that was infinitely more, you know, had more quality than this part of Turrican 2.
Well, it was really weird. The design of the stage was really odd because the camera's behind you. You're in this, like, anti-gravity jet ski. And you're going to this corridor dodging these vertical green lasers. So you dodge, you dodge, you dodge. And it's really hard.
Because the controls are...
very loose.
Terrible.
Very loose.
Oh.
And... what's kind of funny is you get past that, you get past the hard part, and then the easy part is when that tunnel you're going through is flooded with what looks like beholders from D&D. That's trademarked Wizards of the Coast, so Wizards of the Coast, if you listen, props to you. Then you get bombarded with these enemies, and like every other two enemies, you get a little health power up.
Yeah. So like, oh, we made this hard.
Yeah, so here you go.
Here you go. Here you go.
Get back to full.
And then you fight more of those and they start vomiting shields.
Yes. Yeah, they start vomiting shields.
They look like the shield from Link to the Past, like the red upgrade shield. There's just a whole bunch of those sitting around, and it'll mess up your anti-gravity jet ski if you hit it.
I can't believe that you haven't mentioned how you get to that stage, where you're on the hull of the pirate ship, and you have to hop from beam to beam that's being carried by space piranha.
Yes.
While meteors are rocketing towards you.
This whole game had some, yeah.
It's creative.
It was strange, but creative. And playing through this game with the narrative and the levels are like a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Uh-huh.
If you just open it up and read different pages. If you don't try to choose, you turn to 94 to do this, turn to 92 to do this. Just whatever page you want to read, that's how much sense it makes.
Pick a random number. Yeah. It's true. But it does make sense that contractors are expensive, right? Space contractors are even more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But space piranha with iron struts tied to them are very cheap and will build a ship with the proper motivation.
You get transported around a whole lot for no reason.
Yeah.
Because
I know where you're going.
You're crash landed onto a desert planet.
Right.
And then you are picked up by space pirates.
Right.
And they take you back to their planet, which is all underwater. So then you're doing underwater levels.
Right.
Occasionally popping up into their ship to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
And then
out of the blue,
the Steve Irwin murdering animal pops up.
Yeah.
You fight this gigantic manta ray.
I have come for the one you call Steve Irwin. Right.
Too soon? I don't think it's too soon.
No.
The boss's haunted elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Manta ray.
Right. Space spider.
Space spider randomly for no reason. Right. You just hurtling through space.
Get caught in a cosmic web.
With two spiders.
Mm-hmm. Giant.
A tremor when you're going through the desert. You fight... There's that huge thing.
Kevin Bacon is not there to help you beat him.
You do not have dynamite strapped to a...
Remote RC truck.
Car, yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting about that is the graboid that you fight, this giant desert worm, you don't actually fight it. The whole time you're fighting, and I thought this was kind of cool, it is trying to eat you. So the entire battle takes place inside its mouth, and you're just shooting its tongue.
Yeah. It's crazy nonsensical, but it's creative and fun. So it may seem like... Like, I'm bitching about it, but it's really not.
I am. We probably don't want to get into this yet, but this is actually probably the first game that we played that I really was ready for it to be over pretty early on. I'm not a big fan of this genre. I've never really thought that run and gun games are fun or interesting. I think Super Turrican 2, the developer, Factor 5, realized, you know what, this genre is pretty boring. And that's why it's so outlandish.
Okay, that's a good point.
Because even as a kid, I know everyone remembers Contra, and I played Contra, but I still didn't think Contra was super fun. I mean, it's just run from one side of the screen to the other, just mashing the fire button. At least in like a beat 'em up, you got to worry about, you know, proximity to enemies, and I don't know.
No, you're right. I don't often say this because I'm a Super Nintendo fanboy. There's nothing here you couldn't find better on Gunstar Heroes on Genesis.
I never played that.
Which, if we ever did like a crossover to any point, Gunstar Heroes is a fantastic game on Genesis. Hmm. Even though you're not a fan of the genre, I think you may appreciate that game.
That may be the one that converts me.
Well, it'll be like, all right, that wasn't so bad.
Oh, that was, you know.
The music in Super Turrican 2 reminds me a lot of Gunstar Heroes. It's like a mashup of Gunstar Heroes and Earthbound. So I really enjoyed the music on Super Turrican 2.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Although I'll tell you, I couldn't hum a single song from it right now if I wanted to.
I couldn't either, but I remember liking it while we were doing it.
All right, fair enough.
I guess I should also say you have a grappling hook in the game, and the grappling hook is incredibly broken and janky. I hate the grappling hook in this game.
You've got a natural disposition.
Yeah, I'm awful.
Yeah, I mean,
Batman and Robin, you had to do those levels for me, and then I wasn't any better in this game.
But I agree. The grappling hook in this game is awful. And unfortunately, is necessary at certain points. So this thing that you use infrequently, you have to master in order to get past certain levels, which is really kind of disappointing. I think that was a recent addition to Super Turrican 2. I don't believe the grappling hook was in any of the former Turrican games.
They should just keep leaving it out then.
And it destroyed the series, apparently, because I think Super Turrican 2 was the last one that they did.
So, Ocean, if you're out there, or Factor 5, when you make Super Turrican 3 20 years later, don't work on your grappling hook.
Yeah, don't do the grappling hook, guys.
Or just say that.
Take it from us, the grappling hook experts.
Like you said, grappling hook seems to be my area of weakness, except in one game, which I think I'm very good with it, is I think I'm really good with the ninja rope and worms.
It's a ninja rope.
It's a different thing. Different. All right.
Completely different. Grapplers.
Ninja ropes, bad with grappling hooks.
Grapplers use grappling hooks, ninjas use ninja ropes. It's basic, Tyler. It's basic.
This game was pretty difficult. Yeah. I'd say it's your...
Pretty difficult? I think it was pretty difficult.
I can see that there's some kind of a good technique and a rhythm once you get going.
Yeah.
That it can make the game pretty doable. We couldn't find that rhythm or that little that trick, that feeling to it, but I'm sure it's out there. If you play it like that, it's probably a easier and better paced game.
You also have what, small nuclear devices?
Your smart bombs.
Mm-hmm. Those are lifesavers.
Yeah, you can only hold three, which oftentimes I would find more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can only hold three, so I guess they're trying to encourage you to use them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kill everything on the screen. And they even hurt bosses.
Right.
So that was good.
I cheesed a few bosses by just saving up smart bombs and unloading all three on one.
Mm-hmm. The stage where you're fighting that brain that jumps from machine gun to machine gun.
Yeah, and that's a really cool concept. They're, like I said earlier, it's a creative game, and they've got some really outlandish concepts that are... Some of them are really just funny and quirky, and others I think are... kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, I love that stage because you're fighting the boss throughout the entirety of the level at different points. And you'll defeat one of its quote-unquote bodies, mechanical bodies, and this brain will leap out and jump into another one and run away. And then you follow it and fight it again. I think you fight it, what, like three times that stage?
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like this game with several tweaks and kind of fixes, it could have been a really good game. But there's just some big gaps in it that kind of halt the action and change gears a little too much. And then little things like the variety of guns and the grappling hook, the incohesiveness of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You just are beamed suddenly onto the enemy final boss's ship.
Not beamed. You materialize.
You materialize.
This is the thing about this game that bothers me the most. From the intro, it sets up that you're going to go defeat the machines. All right, great. So you go through this black hole to land on this desert planet, which I guess the machines are there. I don't know. You go through all of that. You get taken aboard their ship, and then you leave, get picked up by these pirates, and instead of immediately, you have the power, apparently, you find out you have the power to materialize on the machine's ship. Why didn't you do that from the very beginning?
Yeah, you don't gain levels. You're as strong at the beginning as you are at the end.
It just seems like an unnecessary risk, Tyler. That's all I'm going to say. To go through.
I have to go there, but I want to get kidnapped by pirates and fight a tremor and need some good life experiences first.
Yeah, just in case I don't make it.
Which, in this game does do something that I really dislike about games where you choose the difficulty.
Yeah.
Like, normal difficulty was a little too challenging to play the game casually and try to get a feel for it.
Yeah.
So we played it on easy.
Mm-hmm.
And games that cut you off at a certain point or let you finish it in an easier mode drive me crazy.
Explain.
I had it on easy. Mm-hmm. I got to the first form of the boss and beat it, and it cut me off. There's more levels and more to the game, but just like, nope, play a higher difficulty. The end, question mark. Nope.
You're talking about the final boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I checked out what actually happens if you play it on the adult level.
Oh, do tell.
You get chased by a wall of flame while you run after that boss. His mechanical body has two attachments in their hands, a drill and a chainsaw. So you're chasing and shooting it. And what he's doing is he's drilling the ceiling and knocking debris on you and hitting you with his chainsaw hand. It's actually a pretty... That's a pretty cool idea for a boss fight. I wish they'd let you do it on
easy.
Sounds
pretty Meat Boy-esque.
Yeah.
That they would hide that from you unless you play it in a higher difficulty when it's pretty difficult. Like I said, Adventures of Batman and Robin, I feel like all these games were rentals. This is the first one. Like, if it had been purchased for me for, like, Christmas, I wouldn't have been too upset.
Really? This is the one?
I feel like this is the first one that... I would have been pissed if I had saved up and bought it myself.
Yeah.
But if I had gotten it as a gift, I wouldn't have been upset. Because I feel like there's enough variety, difficulty, and length to the game, and kind of a learning curve that it would have been a decent purchase as opposed to a rental.
Man, I couldn't disagree with you more. I really, like, even when we first started playing this game, I knew from the first level that this wasn't for me because I almost lost interest immediately. I enjoyed watching you play. Mm-hmm. You know, I played my fair share as well, but whenever I was playing, I was more frustrated than I enjoyed it. I liked watching you play because I could just make witty comments and enjoy the bizarre nature of the game. Mm. I don't know.
I did utilize the level skip a lot.
Yeah.
I got a lot because I would play it so many times to beat a stage, and then the next level, I didn't know what was coming, die, have to start over from the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, no thank you. Right. Not going to do that. Level skip back to the point that I was. I tried to make it a rule where I had to beat the level before I could level skip past it, but I wasn't going to keep playing it over and over and over again.
So you're going to be the first person to write the game fact?
Nope. I respect the hell out of people who can sit and write game facts.
10,000 Tadpog points to the first listener who writes the fact for Super Turrican 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Redeemable for Micah Perdue's lap pillow. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to check out the Facebook page.
A lot of different mismatched of elements, nonsensical, kind of crazy, broken shooting game. Super Turrican 2.
Yeah, there are some things that I enjoyed about the game. I think that there are some pretty cool stages that you haven't talked about. And I'm willing to bet they're the stages that you hate. I'll bet you anything. I'll bet you 500 Tadpog points. So,
shit.
The stage in level 1 where you jump from sandworm to sandworm.
Yeah, no, I did hate that.
Yeah, I like that level a lot.
I hate that, yeah. I was not a fan. I nearly level skipped through that one.
I like that one a lot because it's kind of like this set piece, you know, where there's nothing else like it in the game, and there's not much like it in any other game I can think of. I mean, it's just one of those bizarre situations where the stage starts out where you're grapple hooked to a spaceship while giant bugs fly at you from either side. You shoot them. Eventually, they take down the helicopter. You fall, land on a giant purple sandworm, and then you run across it and jump from sandworm to sandworm to sandworm until you're at the end.
Until you get to the exit at sandworm that takes you to the really, really big sandworm. Right. Which you find.
And
just ride the sandworm train.
That's right.
All the way to victory.
And the other one I really liked is the vertical scrolling level. Where you're
jumping
riding
rocket to rocket?
Yeah, you're riding on the rocket.
If I would have had problems with epilepsy, I would have been messed up on that stage. I didn't mind that stage so much. It was creative.
I thought
jumping
that was
from
pretty
rocket
cool
to rocket, collecting kind of a chance to get power-ups before randomly fighting the space spider.
Right. And it's even like this vertically scrolling maze almost, because you have to make your way through the rockets without falling out off the bottom of the screen or being pushed off the top. So, except for that one time where you totally
tried jumping off and got stuck and just rode up into oblivion.
Well, and the stage ended.
Ended right as I was falling off, so there was no chance to recover.
Right,
died. Same with the brain boss. Like, the game forces you over, so it makes you unhook your grappling hook and you just fall off.
Well, there's like that door right before you fight the brain boss the last time. It's like, I think the developers are just like, you know what? Every time you go through this door, you die.
just once, though. Just once.
We're reasonable folks.
Yeah, it was definitely wasn't my favorite. I felt like it was an all right game.
Wait a minute. That's all you can muster for the one game that we've played so far that you wouldn't mind owning? I need some enthusiasm.
If I had received it as a gift, I wouldn't have been upset. Yeah. Because it had enough content to justify me owning it.
But if your mom had given you Uniracers, you'd thrown it in her face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would, yes. What is this, mother? No. Go get me weird alien shooters.
Go get me Super Turrican 2. This is Mega Turrican, mother. That's for Super Turrican 2.
I probably don't like incredibly repetitive gameplay unless I'm grinding in an RPG.
So and that's about as repetitive as you can get.
Which, that doesn't, I don't mind that as much for some
reason. Besides having a job, that's about as repetitive as you can get.
Like, Uniracers would have driven me crazy going through the same thing over and over, like, in that. But then Turrican 2, enough like, what weird thing is going to happen next?
I can dig that. That's what I enjoyed about the game as well, is what the fuck is going to happen next that is weirder than this. Giant stingray? All right. Yep, pretty weird. There's a really weird, surreal flying level I'm surprised that we haven't talked about yet, where you're flying through the atmosphere of a sun.
Yeah,
the camera's overhead and everything looks like it's melting.
That level weirded Meg out.
Yeah.
Because I see what they're trying to make it where you're scrolling through it.
Right.
But it has this weird melting effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it stretches and gets longer and melts as you're going through, yeah, the atmosphere of the sun.
I've never played Salvador Dali the game until Super Turrican 2 sun level.
I guess that's new super technology that they built this huge thing in the atmosphere of a sun. If a sun has, I don't even know, I'm not the science guy about a sun's atmosphere.
Wiley, does the sun have atmosphere? You were mentioned while we were playing this game.
We need Wiley. We need a Wiley, the guest host on this. He would have been a good commentator.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do beards and glasses?
Well, I do want to do beards and glasses. But before I do beards and glasses, before I ask you, I want to do my favorite thing.
Okay.
I'm going to do my favorite thing, Tyler. Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you some trivia. I'm going to test your knowledge.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We haven't got to do this for a while because...
we know where people have been.
Right. But we don't know where Factor 5 is. So, Tyler, I want you to tell me. What do you think? Factor 5, where are they now?
Factor 5, I imagine... probably no longer exist. They probably got shut down or absorbed by some 5 stages removed subsidiary of the EA monster.
Okay.
I could also see them branching out and making cosmetics.
Okay. They actually are the largest owner of corn dog trucks in the United States. That's not true.
I looked at you very like, huh?
That's not true at all. You're right. They were liquidated recently in 2011.
Oh, hmm.
They were best known for, get any guesses?
Factor 5, what were they best known for? I'm assuming something science fiction-y.
Sci-fi corn dogs.
Hover corn dog trucks. I'm going to say something relating to Star Wars.
Okay, yes. Rogue Squadron.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Which was a very successful franchise. I know that I remember playing those. Those were great. So they were known for that and the Turrican series, which I said earlier just... started back in the Amiga days, and it used to be more of an exploration game. A lot of people who love that series did not like Super Turrican 2 because it has almost no exploration to it at all. It's very much, like you said, run and gun left to right.
Mm-hmm.
The exceptions being the stages where you're going vertically. But the whole reason that the ball, the allowing the Turrican suit to turn you into a ball, was for exploration, Metroid style.
See, I can see that would have been good. So I guess that apparently they wanted to rebrand themselves a little too much and went too far.
They cut it, and that, like we said earlier, that was the last Turrican game, was Super Turrican 2. So
not everyone's Nintendo and can rework the formula and have it work.
I know. There's one more question. All right. So you did really good on that one.
All right. Yeah, it's the first time I've gotten part of a question right.
Ocean Software. They published the game. Where are they now, Tyler? Where do you think?
I bet Ocean is still around.
Okay.
I'm going to wager they were absorbed, but partially kept their identity by Sega and have something to do with Echo the Dolphin games.
Man, that's a good guess. That is a really good guess.
Just because Ocean, what's in the ocean? Right. Echo the Dolphin.
They were actually bought by... Infogrames. Remember them?
Nope.
They bought Gremlin Interactive, the people that did that Grand Kimco game that we talked about, Top Gear 2.
That Grand game.
Which also, I believe, bought DMA Designs, who became Rockstar North. So it's kind of weird how all these kind
of... Yep, the incestuous world of game producing.
Infogrames was the EA of 1996, apparently. So they bought Ocean, and Ocean was notorious for purchasing the licensing rights to movies, and then making games based on those movies. They did Hook.
Okay,
I know you've mentioned.
That was the second game I ever owned.
They did Hook. They published Hook, and they published Jurassic Park Addams Family. I think they also did Cool Spot.
Three games I fondly remember. Well, so, pretty fondly remember.
Stuff like that. So I'm willing to bet this is not the last we're going to see of Ocean in our adventure through the top 100 Super Nintendo games.
You are probably right. Although I don't think, Addams Family, Cool Spot, not on there. All the games I used to rent at the Piggly Wiggly, not on there.
Now, did the Piggly Wiggly become the food giant?
Yes, it did.
Because
where we get the Mondo. You mean where the Mondo shipped to us from, exactly, from our sponsor?
Right, right. Yeah, we made a pilgrimage the other day to Tyler's gaming mecca, the food giant.
Where you and I was able to find the exact spot where I used to rent the games.
Yep.
You can now buy cigarettes in that spot.
So we did. Okay, we're through my favorite part. I feel good. I feel cleansed. I want to get to your favorite part. I assume you like giving beards and glasses.
I like it. It's probably not my favorite part, but yeah. I like it. Okay. I enjoy it.
Tyler?
It's like foreplay. It's not my favorite, but I enjoy it.
Tyler, got a very important question.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to assign a beard to this game, what kind of beard would you give it?
If I were to try and extrapolate all the qualities about this game and boil it down into some kind of beard ratio system.
Beard science.
Beard science.
If someone could do a parody of Weird Science to Beard Science, we would be forever in your debt.
100,000 Dadbog points.
100,000, the most Dadbog points ever offered before.
I would give it one full blonde lumberjack beard, also known as the dirty, tortured Jamie Lannister.
Okay. Now, we've gone over blonde beards before.
Yeah, it's a full lumberjack beard.
Isn't that what you gave Final Fight? Didn't you give Final Fight a blonde beard?
I gave it part. It was a partially. Yeah, it was blonde. I remember that. Blonde is of course the weakest of all beard colors. Right, right. But it's a full beard, so
it's better. So it's better.
So it's better, but it's still a blonde beard. Okay, it's still a Jamie Lannister.
Okay. If you were to give this game, if you were to assign this game a pair of glasses, what would you give it?
All right, but I'm much more proficient in beard science than I am glasses science.
Glassology.
I am
please.
The owner of glassology.
Let's use the correct terminology.
I'm the owner and operator of a beard, right, but not of glasses. I would give this game, I think I'm right in my terminology and hipster taste here. I'd give it a pair of Warby Parker hipster frames, but they're Coke bottle lenses that make your eyes just look enormous.
So not really small, but really big.
Right.
Which is better?
You probably want smaller eyes. You'd rather smaller eyes that make your lenses that make your eyes so big that they fill the frames.
Yeah, like you're
like comically
anime character.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, only no stars. Like no stars in the eyes. Okay. Or dewy wetness.
Dewy wetness.
Dewy wetness.
That's your porn
That's
star name.
That's my porn star name.
I'll be Balbo Biggins. You can be Dewy Wetness.
All right. Story about my childhood, now that you say Dewey. When I was little, my mom bought me three stuffed toys.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
The only one I gave a shit about was Dewey. Huey and Louie.
Did you lock the others in the closet?
Huey and Dewey are still in my attic, pristine. Like Snow White, never touched those assholes.
Right.
Dewey, though, was just like black for being
Snow
drug
White,
around.
By the way, was notorious for never touching any of the dwarves' assholes.
Notorious. Every Friday in kindergarten, we would have show and tell.
Uh-huh.
I brought Dewey every week for all of kindergarten. The teacher like complained to my mom because I'd always bring Dewey.
I was about to say, that was a very patient crowd.
Yep.
So. Yeah.
I love the color blue.
That's what I was about to ask. Yep, I was about to ask.
Because of blue.
I know our listeners tuned in for your DuckTales knowledge. So Dewey was blue. What color was Huey?
Huey, I believe, was green, and Louie was red.
Was red? There wasn't... Man, who... My DuckTales knowledge apparently is lacking because I thought there was a yellow one.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Well, that's my favorite.
There was the girl, and she wore pink. I forget her name, though.
What was her name?
I remember the Beagle Boys.
Yeah, well, the Beagle Boys, of course.
And then that girl they always wanted to kidnap.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Because you brought this up, I get to post one of my favorite videos of all time in the show notes.
I know what you're talking about.
And I'm not going to say anything either. If you want to see it, you got to check out the show notes on dadbog.com.
Because if you don't look at the show notes, Dave works very hard on them, and they're very good if you take the time to click on them.
I try to make them entertaining. I tell you what. Act now, and I'll give you 2 DuckTale links for the price of 1.
You can't beat that. Before we go any further, normally you ask me questions. I'm flipping this.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
I'm flipping the script. Or as Missy Elliott would say, I'm first smirch right on you right now. Because you mentioned the other day when you saw my Game Informer.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, is that? I didn't think that was mine. I stopped subscribing to those.
Right.
So it's like, all right, so then you haven't read this.
There's no. Even when I got them, I didn't read them. Confession bear.
There's something in the back that when I read this, I was like, I've got to give Dave this quiz on Tadpog.
Oh, shit.
This is a game. I'm going to rename it so you understand exactly the gravity of the situation.
Okay, wait a minute. You're going to give me a quiz on the mics, and you're going to take liberties?
I'm going to take liberties with this.
All right.
I don't know. Game Informer would be like, that's our article. We're suing Tadpog.
That's true.
Suing Tadpog for 1,000,000 Tadpog points.
I'm already worried that by like episode 25, I'm going to get an email from IGN that's like, hey, motherfuckers, that's our list.
I'm going to give you a situation, a news, sort of a news story. Did this happen in a Japanese RPG?
Okay.
Or a Japanese role-playing game? Or did it happen in the state of Florida?
Okay. I like this quiz. I can already tell you I'm not going to do well, but I like this quiz.
There are 17 questions.
Holy God. Okay.
All right. RPG or Florida? Man steals sweet roll, hides in pants.
Florida.
Correct. That is the state of Florida. Number 2, RPG or Florida? Man and his dog find bronze gorilla statue in woods.
RPG.
Florida.
Damn it.
Teen and his dog uncover abandoned laboratory.
RPG.
RPG, Secret of Evermore. Teacher attacked by airborne fish.
Oh, that has to be Florida.
That is Florida.
That has to be Florida.
Love triangle between two sisters and adopted brother leaves one dead.
Okay, that read like a news story, so that has to be Florida.
That is an RPG.
Okay.
Tales of Legendia.
I'm glad that that's an RPG, but that question is worded in a way.
Yep. Alleged stabber claims he was possessed by cat spirit.
That sounds like an RPG I would love to play, but it's probably Florida, right? If you say RPG, I have to quit playing Dark Souls and play whatever the hell this is.
RPG.
What is it?
Chrono Cross.
Oh, Chrono Cross. I never played it.
Yeah, I never played it either.
Because like, I always heard it was...
It's not the sequel to Chrono Trigger.
Exactly.
I immediately dismissed
it. Yeah, I did too, but
supposedly, if you play it on its own merits, supposedly it's a fun game. Woman refuses to leave launch pad, delays space shuttle.
McQuack? Read it again. I'm sorry. I couldn't get past launch pad.
Woman refuses to leave launch pad, delays space shuttle launch.
I'm going to say Florida.
RPG.
Damn it. To the moon?
Final Fantasy VII.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's totally right. Woman attacks lover after disappointing sexual performance.
Final Fantasy VII.
Florida.
It's the honeybee lounge, right?
Yeah, bubby. Let's see. Late night television blamed for increase in teen murders.
RPG.
RPG. Persona 4.
Yep. I didn't know Final Fantasy VII, which I've played probably a dozen times. Persona, a game of which I've played 0 times, I knew it was Persona.
Woman driving vehicle 100 miles per hour claimed divine forces made her do it.
Trick question, that is speed.
Close. It's Florida. This is a quote.
Okay.
I am a reincarnated space traveler, says robot enthusiast.
All right.
An RPG or someone from the state of Florida?
Gotta be someone from the state of Florida, right?
RPG. Xenogears.
Another game that I need to finish.
It's good. If you can get past the extremely pixelated graphics, I have fond memories. Adult woman adopted by wealthy boyfriend.
Probably both.
Just Florida. Just the state of Florida. Large beehive, thousands of bees threaten residential area.
What's RPG?
Just state of Florida.
What? And a Futurama episode.
Man offers to shoot children out of cannon.
Like, out of cannon? Like, that's his belief? Out of cannon, I will shoot these people.
Out of a cannon.
Oh, okay. That has... Let me think. That's got to be Florida.
RPG. Secret of Mana.
Man, it's been a long time since I played that game. I don't remember that.
I don't remember it either.
It's on our list, so we'll remember it then.
Sexual assault at wrestling tournament under investigation.
Final fight. Grandpa and Uncle Andore. Final answer.
It is a game. RPG Shadow Hearts Covenant.
Okay. I never played it.
I played the original Shadow Hearts. Jacob and I were big fans.
Yeah.
Father assaults son's romantic rival.
RPG.
State of Florida.
That's got to be both. I mean, come on.
I don't give one. All right. Last one. Man uses samurai sword, mop, as weapons during altercation.
Wait.
Man uses a samurai sword and a mop as weapons during an altercation.
Okay. If this happened in Florida, it also happened in Chrono Trigger.
You are correct, sir. It is both the state of Florida and Chrono Trigger.
Yes. I don't care that I missed all of them before that, but the fact that I got that last one. Man, that was tough. Now I know why you rushed through Super Turrican 2. You had a long-ass quiz section.
Yeah, I wanted to do that, yep.
I'm glad that you brought that in. I'm going to up the ante. I'll do something next week. You see what it is.
All right, well, I've got a lengthy list of shout-outs to do.
You have what?
A lengthy list of shout-outs.
All right. I like lengthy lists of shout-outs.
Lengthy list of shout-outs. My wife accused me of mumbling on the Top Gear 2 episode. She did. So lengthy list of shout-outs.
I witnessed it. Lime face, lemon face.
Shout out to Ramon Verdugo Castillo III for his Facebook share.
Thank you.
Kevin Link for a Facebook share.
Thank you.
And Manji Manjil for his very favorable iTunes review. We very much appreciate those.
Yes, very much.
And Baby Deebs, a fellow Kentuckian. Thank him for his iTunes review.
Yep.
Zach N., who I'm hoping is somehow Captain N from the very popular 80s cartoon. And Micah Perdue and Blake Woods, who all left comments on tadpog.com.
Yes, thank you.
See, Nicole Nance for a Facebook share. Her husband, Josh Nance.
Uniracers fame.
And fired co-host. No, I fired Jacob. Josh is still on us. And Josh Nance for their Facebook shares. Meg Holland, my wife, for her Facebook share. Megalixir, they shared us on Facebook. And eventually we've got something. We'll have more, mention them more in the future.
Yeah, we're working on something with them. And I tell you what I'm going to do, Tyler, because you gave me a surprise quiz, and now I'm filled with joy. I'm going to give you 3 DuckTales links in the show notes.
Oh, 3 DuckTales.
For the price of 1, which is free.
Damn, dog, you spoil me.
How you like that?
You spoil me so bad. But if you want some hints about what we're going to be up to with Mega Elixir, you can check out the show notes. Clues and DuckTales links.
Yep.
Shout out to Laura Childs Ammons for retweeting us. Our dear listener, Dennis Robison, for giving us feedback and offering us a place to stay.
Yes. We're going to be going to the St. Louis Comic-Con, the Wizard World Comic-Con, at the end of March. And Dennis has very kindly offered us lodging, which is good. Thank you, Dennis. And if we have any listeners in that area and you want to meet up, find us on Facebook and let us know.
And then a shout out to Matt Barger for his Facebook sharing, some fan art he posted.
Yes.
And a lot of inquiries into what we like, getting to know us.
Yeah. If you haven't been to the Facebook page, you really need to go and see what Matt posted because it made my day.
All right, then next week we've got Super Double Dragon on the agenda.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think that'll be good.
I'm looking forward to it.
If we can, I'd also like to play a little bit of Double Dragon Neon, which is the recent re-release a remake of Double Dragon.
Okay, I'm down for that.
Maybe we'll watch the movie, talk about the Double Dragon movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The weird Bobo in that movie. We're talking about, we should bring up a Bobo's Adventure at some point. Well, have a lot of good stuff.
That's a special episode. We'll just add it
jumbo,
to the
jumbo episode.
To the ever growing. That's what we should do. All the games we said we're going to do a special episode for, we're going to do an 8-hour special episode. Where we just talk about these games, read each other quizzes out of Cosmo. I mean, it's going to be great. Share our embarrassing stories.
We'll read just all of Meg 246's NCIS fan fiction.
Like Tyler said, thanks to everybody who's helped with the show and given us feedback. We really appreciate it, particularly the iTunes reviews, because those help us reach people who haven't heard about the show. We will be back next week. Like Tyler said, we're going to be talking about Double Dragon. probably the game. We might just talk about two different dragons. I don't know. We like dragons a lot.
Maybe the ride at or in right. Orlando.
Okay, we're going to make our own fiction about two dragons, and we're going to talk about that next week. So be prepared. In the meantime, if you can't wait for more Tadpog, you can leave us feedback on tadpog.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. And our intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can be found in the show notes on tadpog.com. And until then, I'm just going to be playing on my little cardboard controller. Yay. Ready to close it?
Yep.
Ready to close this bitch down?
We close this bitch down.
Want me to read some erotic fiction and close it down?
Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah. Let's do that. That's going to be a good thing.
New segment?
People love that. Yeah. Dave reads erotic fiction.
I'm going to save it.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm going to save it.